You're listening to Irish Sports Talk. Hello, Notre Dame fans. Welcome to Irish Sports Talk. This is episode 324, our first preview of the season, and I'm ready to go. Texas versus Notre Dame. We're going to go through the press conference from Brian Kelly had on Tuesday, and then we'll go through the different each position group, talk about the depth chart since that was released, and then we'll talk some Texas-Notre Dame matchups. So to get started with, from the press conference with Brian Kelly, still didn't say who the starter is going to be, and at this point I don't think it matters because they're both going to play. And he was even asked, is it going to be situational, is it going to be hot hand, and he kind of said a little bit of both.
Yeah, he's not giving away a whole lot on who will be the starter, but I think a lot of people are going to say that the first guy out there is the guy, but I don't know if you can read into that at all.
That's definitely the way I would look at it, and I think it's funny. Both Charlie and Kelly said that they both aren't saying who the starting quarterback is going to be for their team. However, they both said it didn't matter how they prepare for the other team. On defense, it doesn't matter. I just thought it was funny.
So which team is just bluffing, is just saying that they're playing two quarterbacks?
Well, no, I think for Texas, he is bluffing. I mean, I think it's clear the starter is going to be the freshman, and then Swoops is going to come in to run some special plays.
You might be surprised on that because I just read on one of the Texas sites that which quarterback, that the freshman won't be the starter in this game. He'll play, but he won't be the starter.
But he made it clear, and we'll get more into it, but he made it clear that the starter, what he looks for in a starter is someone who can win over the locker room or have respect of the locker room, but then also run the offense. They have a new offensive coordinator, a new offense, and Swoops, although he made some strides this fall from what I was reading, still hadn't caught up to where the freshman,
Bouchel.
Shane Bouchel, where he is. Anyway, let's finish talking about Notre Dame. So he said it'll be a little bit of both as far as how this is going to be a switch between Kaiser and Zaire. And he did say, so it could be if the one guy's having success, yeah, he'll probably play a little bit more. But they might also, if they get into a situation, they might bring in the other quarterback. And the only situation I can think of, if they really want to run the ball, maybe if it's, I'm not even sure where they would dictate that for sure, but if they really want to run the ball, they'd bring in Zaire.
Who do you expect to be out there?
To start?
Yeah, the first snap of the game.
I honestly don't think it matters. Well, I know
who
what
do you
said.
Expect to see?
My brain tells me it's going to be Deshaun. And, yeah, I think it's going to be Deshaun Kaiser.
I think the first snap of the game is going to be Zaire. So I guess we'll find out.
That'd be a good Twitter poll question.
Yeah, I was just going to say you should put that out there, maybe right Sunday before the game.
All right.
I guess the biggest thing I noticed, the press conference, I guess he didn't really talk about as much in the press conference, but they do have the depth chart out now, the two deeps, and I was a little surprised at some of the two deeps. The starters that I wasn't expecting to see was Avery Sebastian at the free safety, which, by the way, he did play both safety positions when he was at Cal, so it's not like this is the first time he's playing free safety. And then his backup is Stud still. And then at the other safety position, you have Tranquil, and then Jalen Elliott is his backup. A true freshman is this backup at the strong safety. Originally, you know, we figured it would be Stud still and Elliott at the free safety, but they're definitely going with the experience. Want to go with the experienced guys out there.
And I think the only reason that Stud still isn't starting at free safety is because he's a freshman, the first game, and it is going to be an intense atmosphere. Even hearing Charlie Strong's press conference, he's definitely concerned or worried or aware for his team, and this is a home game for them. Think about it for Notre Dame guys coming in there that haven't seen it before.
Well, the some Texas fans are telling other Texas fans not to sell their tickets. They said, before you do that, sell your oil and cattle, but do not sell your tickets. But some of the other freshmen that are in the two deeps.
Well, let's talk a little bit more about Avery.
Okay.
And Studstill. Because.
Oh, go ahead.
Well, Brian said that even other years, when he sees that guys just aren't prepared, these young players, freshmen, they aren't ready. And he said, when you're looking at them and you can see the back of their skull because their eyes are missing or something like that. He's done that before in the past. And he said it'd be to some players that you'd be surprised about. And so I just think it's going to be one of those things. I do think Studstill will be out on the field. And if he performs well, I think it'll be his job against Nevada. You know, if the stage isn't too big, if he's able to play sound football where he's taking care of his assignments and he doesn't make a lot of errors.
The thing is, Avery Sebastian, if he is healthy, he is a really good football player.
As a run stopper.
His problem.
What gives you confidence, though, that he's going to be great in pass coverage?
I'm not saying he will be, but he made some big time plays at Cal. I mean, his final year at Cal, when he got injured, and I think it was the first game, was it 10 tackles by halftime? He got injured in the second quarter, and he already had 10 tackles. His issue is his injuries, and you haven't been able to see what he can actually do. Even at Cal, there's not a whole lot to go off of as far as pass coverage.
I think his injuries have kept him from playing, but I didn't watch a lot of his. I didn't watch more than
what
just
I'm saying
a,
is
just a few
is
highlights
unknown.
From Cal.
He is an unknown. I don't think he's as bad as a lot of people think. It's just like Brian Kelly even mentioned, he hasn't seen him play much football at Notre Dame. So he could be much better than everybody anticipated. It's just he's been injured for the last 6 years.
But this spring, wasn't he healthy this spring?
I can't tell you off the top of my head. But the other thing is, would be Khalid Kareem, or Dalen Hayes, sorry, has had a lot of injuries, but he's hardly played football as well, but we're like all about how great he's going to be.
He passes the eye test.
I'm just pointing it out. I'm not saying, I expect Hayes to be a much better player than Sebastian, but what I'm saying is, don't be so down on Sebastian just yet.
Yeah, but you can't make up lack of speed as far as covering. And with a defensive end, you don't need incredible speed. Yeah.
I'm not disagreeing with you.
Maybe we'll be surprised.
But he is getting the start over Studstill for a reason, so.
All right. Let's continue on defense then. Daniel Cage listed in front of Jerron Jones.
They're the one. It says or. Either or, basically, on the depth chart.
I'm just surprised by that. I figured Jerron Jones, even though Brian Kelly said, we hope we can get 25 snaps out of him. I just expected him to be the man.
I know, but
and Charlie Strong, when he was talking about Notre Dame's defense, he mentioned two guys, and he mentioned Jerron Jones and Isaac Rochelle.
Yeah. Jerron Jones' problem is the problem he's had all along. You see what Brian Kelly said in his press conference? He was like, when Jerron Jones wants to do his thing, or is
did
in
he say
his
that
zone,
in this last
yes,
press conference? Oh,
he's
I
good.
Missed it.
He says when Jerron Jones is on, he's a handful. His problem is that on-off switch.
Well, hey, good. Brian Kelly is definitely doing the right thing.
So I think he can either be a phenomenal player or he can be that lackluster guy that we've already seen as well.
I'd rather see a guy that is giving 100%, maybe not as gifted, but I think if you give 100%, even with slightly less talent, you can still get more production out of them than a guy that's more talented but only gives... gives 100% one out of every three plays.
Yeah.
All right, the other surprise was at the linebacker position. Okay, Greer is the starter at will, but the surprise is that Tavon is the backup at Mike. And Brian Kelly did say that when asked who would come in for Niles, it would either be Tavon Coney or Greer Martini. But Coney has been cross-training at Mike linebacker.
Yeah, we'll just have to see if he's actually available for the game versus Texas.
So, at this point, I mean, I definitely assume that all those guys are available.
I don't, because they had their court hearing this week, and they're having another one in, like, a couple weeks.
Yeah, but Brian Kelly said that...
If they're available. He said it's out of his control.
Yeah, but they're going to play... If there's another meeting in a few weeks from now, to me, that is, it's clear that, well, nothing's going to be decided before then.
That's what I'm saying. I can't see Notre Dame clearing them.
He said they're playing, right? As of now, they're playing.
No, he said it's according if it's up to him.
That is not the way I understood him at all.
But he mentioned it's out of it. He's done everything he can. I guess we'll just have to wait and see. I'm not convinced that they're cleared to play.
You think they'll travel with the team if they're not cleared to play?
I don't know what's going on. This is
if they Notre travel Dame with it. If they about. Travel with the team. Then they're not going to be kept from playing unless Brian Kelly tells them as some extra punishment, you won't play in the first half or something.
If they travel,
like
they'll be I think they'll be eligible.
Anything else at on the defensive side of the ball?
Yes, the backup, Anualu's backup is Jameer Jones, another true freshman, Dron Jones' younger brother. I was beating out a couple more experienced players. And then the other one is Andrew Trumbetti. Andrew Trumbetti will be starting at defensive end over Jay Hayes. And it's Brian Kelly said he took advantage of Jay Hayes being out with an injury and will be starting ahead of him for this game.
That is right. I thought we'd see Dalen before we would Trumbetti, but definitely does not appear that way. And again, maybe it's some of that freshman that fear of playing a true freshman in a big atmosphere that Brian Kelly.
Well,
is
I
just
think
holding
he'll play. They
bit.
Just need to put him in the right situation.
Well,
it's the first
I thought
game,
he'd be. I thought he would be ahead of Greer or ahead of Trumbetti. Regardless,
it's still hard to beat out a guy that has started quite a few games, who started as a true freshman as well.
I know, but Brian Kelly was, and maybe he was trying to motivate Trumbetti, but he was kind of complaining about the lack of confidence.
Yeah,
from Trumbetti.
Well, hopefully he's gained some confidence.
Brian Kelly was asked what he is confident in his football team, and on defense he said that he's confident in them being able to handle the tempo. And we're going to get into some keys of the game later on, but that is my biggest concern with Texas playing Notre Dame, is Notre Dame handling the tempo. And especially Brian Van Gorder, we've been here 3 years now. He likes his sub packages, and we had problems in the past with up tempo teams getting substitutions in on time, and then getting lined up and being ready to play. And so that is a concern for me. But Brian Kelly thinks that it's taken care of and not something he's worried about. And I am curious how much Notre Dame will play at nickel in this game. It'll be interesting to see. All right, on offense, okay, we talked about the quarterback. I did notice something that shocked me is that Folsom is listed ahead of Josh Adams.
I think some of that shock will wear off once the game starts.
I wish we'd be watching it together so that we could elbow each other.
I'm sure you can still get a flight to Texas.
Do you know if you'll have service there? Will you be able to be on your phone at all?
I don't know, but it is Texas. Everything's bigger and better in Texas, supposedly, so they better have some phenomenal service in the stadium.
Tight ends, Jerm Smythe listed as a starter, Nick Wisher as his backup. Do you expect Nick Wisher was one of the guys that you think is going to have a breakout season. Do you expect him to have more catches in this game than Jerm Smythe?
I'm going to go with a yes on that.
Okay.
I'll maybe explain a little more later when we get into the Texas.
Okay. And then at the receivers, we've got our three starters. We've got Torrey Hunter, Equanimeous St. Brown, CJ Sanders, and I don't see
Fink
anywhere on the two deep.
I know that was surprising to me.
I did expect to see him at the backup at slot receiver behind Sanders, but Corey Holmes is there. Stephenson is listed behind Torrey Hunter, and then Miles Boykin behind Equanimeous.
What's interesting to me is everything I've heard from the media is that C.J. Holmes did not have a good fall camp. Then the other day, I think it was last week's press conference, Brian Kelly was like, "Oh, C.J. Holmes had a great fall camp." But he said Fink did,
Corey Holmes.
Corey Holmes. Sorry, I keep saying C.J. Corey Holmes had a great.
I know. That's all I heard, too, was that he drops passes, he can't track the ball running downfield. That's all I heard either, and so I just assumed
that
meant that.
He must be intimidated by the media.
Maybe.
But Fink is listed as the punt returner with C.J. Sanders, so I think you'll still, well, I doubt he'll be returning punts, and just because Sanders, I think Sanders will be the guy doing it.
I don't, initially before the step chart came out for the press conference, I would have said I expect Fink to have a ball thrown in his direction, but I don't think so anymore.
When the game starts, Brian Kelly doesn't care what the depth chart says.
I know, but I'm just surprised that he's not listed there. So
yeah, if you think about it, last year, Josh Anderson was the guy that got a scholarship just before the season started. We saw him in the Texas game, and then that was basically the last time we saw him.
I believe it was the last time.
So there's always some excitement, but I do think Fink has a better chance of playing with this position with the wide receivers than what Anderson did with the running backs.
Kelly was asked about the right guard position with Colin McGovern and Tristan Hodge. And, yeah, it's McGovern. They're happy with him. Frankly, I did say Tristan is getting better at pass protection. And so I think he's just needs a little bit more time to develop.
When you look at the depth chart, Tristan is the backup center, and Tommy Kramer is the backup right guard.
But Brian Kelly, I think the depth charts are wrong on that one. Because he did say that when he was asked who would
come in. That was a week ago.
He asked who would come in at center.
Yeah. That was a week ago before they started.
What do you mean? No, he was asked in yesterday's press conference.
Oh, okay. I missed that.
And he said that Harrell would probably come in at center, maybe Tristan Hodge, and then at guard it would be Hodge.
Okay. So there, I guess there's their proof that the depth chart is put out by somebody else other than Brian Kelly. So,
all right, let's talk a little bit about Texas. I did watch Charlie Strong's press conference. He is in year three at Texas, and I haven't seen him a whole lot. So just from he looked like he was expecting to lose this game. I don't know. He just did not look like a very confident person in respect to this game. And maybe that's more who he is as a person. I don't read a whole lot into it, just something that I noticed and thought. He did think, or when he was talking about Notre Dame, he said that they're going against one of the two best quarterbacks in the country. The wide receivers are very talented, young. He noted Adams had a big run against them last year. And then he talked about the physical front, both the offensive line, but also on the defense, where he noted Jerron Jones and Isaac Rochelle. As far as he gave some keys for them to what they need to do as a team, and he did say it starts at the line of scrimmage, so just, coach speak. And then he did talk about needing to get physical and being able to run the ball. And they do have some running backs that are able to do that. But the question is, can they be physical at the offensive line? That's the question.
Yeah.
He also said that they wanted to simplify the game plan and make sure that it's executed properly. He didn't want it too complicated so that there'd be mistakes. He'd rather just have it be simple and execute it properly. Do you want to talk about those two running backs that they have, Randall?
Well, yeah. It's a very scary duo of running backs. They call themselves the Smash Brothers, or that's what they're known as. Because they both weigh almost 250 pounds, and one of them is 6'2". And Chris Warren be the one, and Deontay Foreman. Chris Warren set a record last year for the most rushing yards by a freshman, which would be the same thing that Josh Adams did at Notre Dame. And so he did that, and in his first start against Texas Tech, he had 276 yards. So it is Texas Tech, maybe not the best defense, but still that's a lot of yards. When was the last time a running back had 276 yards for Notre Dame against any team?
And for reference, Josh Adams is about the same height, and he weighs 215-ish pounds.
It'd be one thing if you just had one running back that weighs that much, but they have two of them, and that is going to wear down a defense. Just a running back that size that can move will definitely be difficult to bring down. So it'll definitely be interesting to see how Notre Dame's run defense is. It's supposed to be good, and this will be a good test for them. The only thing that'll hold back these running backs, in my opinion, is their offensive line. They're missing... They were missing three offensive linemen. I don't know if some of them will be back for the opener, but they are missing three of their offensive linemen, and they have depth issues there. They have no depth in the spring. They actually moved a defensive tackle over to guard just to get some more depth on the offensive line. So even if you have a good running back, you got to have a decent line. Yeah, you can even see that in the NFL. The running back for the Cowboys that set the season, or was a season-leading rusher 2 years ago.
Did he go to Philadelphia then?
Yeah, and it was terrible.
He always broke his leg, but now
Murray,
I forget.
No.
Yeah, Murray.
Yeah, DeMarco Murray.
Yeah.
Just there you can see, you know, that, you know, I was a different team there, but your offensive line does matter, and I think this is going to be a big issue for Texas.
And okay, they have a new offensive coordinator, a new offense.
I want to throw this in with the running backs. Both those running backs had at least one run of 90 plus yards last season.
So the offense, it's a new offense, new offensive coordinator. The goal is to run 100 plays.
Wow. That's scary. I hate to hear that. As a Notre Dame fan and what we've seen in the last couple of years, you hate to hear that.
And I think that's when Brian Kelly talked about they have a game plan for Texas. They're confident they know how to handle the tempo. They know this too. They do scouting. They have guys that you know, get prepared for the opponent. But it also makes me think that, well, this is also going to be it's a new offense, so it's also going to be something. It is something new that the team has had to learn. The quarterbacks, we don't know who the starter is. Charlie Strong, in his press conference on Monday, said he knows who the starter is. Some of the guys on the team know who the starter is, but he's not going to tell fans. They'll see on Sunday when the first series, the quarterback runs out.
And I'll point out Shane Bouchel, the true freshman, he was an early enrollee, so he did play in the spring game this year. And in their spring game, he had 300 yards and two touchdowns in the first half, which is against their defense. That might be a sign that they have very bad defense. But as a true freshman to come in and do that, that's very impressive. And he did win the most accurate passer award in the Elite 11 last year. And so he knows how to throw the football, and he's very accurate. So, and he's got some good receivers to throw to.
So I'm assuming that he's the starter, he's the main quarterback, and that Swoops is going to be kind of the specialist that comes in with, I believe they call it their 18-wheeler package, where they have multiple tight ends and predominantly run the football. But on their normal offense, regardless who's at quarterback, Charlie Strong did say that it's up to the quarterback once they get to the line of scrimmage, look at the defense, then decide if it's going to be a run or a pass play. And one thing about this offense, they do have the wide receivers out very far to the boundary. In fact, I didn't confirm this, but heard that their slot receiver is actually outside of the hash mark. Wow. So they, when they talk about spreading the field, they mean it more literally than figuratively. They really try to take advantage of the space as much as possible, and kind of what they can then see from the quarterback, it's easier to see if the safety is more likely to be in pass coverage or if he's coming up to help stop the run. So it's going to be a very different offense from what Notre Dame typically sees. And I imagine they're going to have some success against the Irish.
Don't say that.
But it does come down to their offensive line is bad.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's going to be one of the keys to their offense.
All right, are we ready to get into our keys for victory?
Well, just a few things on the defensive side of the ball for them. Their cornerback, they have very, very good cornerbacks. So that will be an interesting matchup for Notre Dame with their young wide receivers. That is why I think Nick Wisher will have a good game, because these cornerbacks are going to do a good job against the wide receivers. So it'll be a little tough, you know, being the first game of the year, first time some of these guys are playing in a game that it matters. They're not coming in mop-up time. And their safety, Dylan Haynes, is their second all-time interception. I'm not sure how you would say. He has the most yardage in interception returns, or he's second all-time for Texas. So he does get quite a few interceptions, and when he does return them, he gets a lot of yards. But I'm not really expecting Notre Dame quarterbacks to have interceptions in this game. They're both, doesn't matter who plays, they're both very good at passing the ball. You saw they had two interceptions in fall camp. Well, it wasn't all fall camp. I forget how many attempts. It was a couple hundred attempts. It didn't say all of fall camp, but doing very good on that part. And the linebackers, Malik Jefferson was a freshman last, played as a freshman last year, was a freshman All-American, and he's definitely a guy you want to keep your eye on this year. He's a very good player, but he might have to make more plays than necessary just because their defensive line is not that good. They got quite a few first-year starters on the defensive line, and if we look at Notre Dame's offensive line, they're going to have their hands full. Notre Dame is one of the better offensive lines in the country, and it's going to be a huge test for Texas. One thing I forgot to mention with the offense, the wide receivers for Texas are
fast.
Pretty good and fast. John Burt is the wide receiver that runs track, and he was one of two freshman finalists for the 110-meter hurdles in the NCAA championships. And watching their spring game, he was the most Will Fuller-like wide receiver I've seen in a while. He outran the cornerback, and then when he caught the ball, he had another gear, and there was no catching him. And that's a little scary when you look at Notre Dame's secondary, or
and
the safeties, not the cornerbacks.
He's number one if you want to look for him out in the field, number one.
So
I think what I expect. Well, yeah, we'll get to that then.
But that's about what I've got for on the defensive side of the ball.
All right. Well, let's move on to then our keys for victory and how we expect this game to go, what each team, what Notre Dame has to do to win, what Texas has to do to give them a chance at winning. And I'm shocked. The spread is only 4 points. And I'd asked a Twitter poll if you're picking Notre Dame or Texas to cover, and it had been at 99% Notre Dame to cover, and yes, it's still at 99% Notre Dame to cover. I can't believe it's only 4 points.
It's down to 3.5.
Okay, I was going off ESPN. It still shows it at 4, but there's several, I guess, different lines out there. Maybe ESPN just takes an average. I don't know. For Notre Dame, Brian Kelly said that what he has confidence in his offense is that they can run the ball. And I think it's imperative that Notre Dame does run the ball, because Texas' only chance at winning is if they can wear down Notre Dame's defense and score points. And the best way to keep Notre Dame's defense fresh is by having long drives sustained by running the football. 3-4 yards, 6 yards, 7 yards. Running the ball is going to be imperative for Notre Dame. To lack of running the ball is the only way that Texas can win this football game, because it just gives them more either short runs by Notre Dame's offense and then longer time for Notre Dame's defense to be on the field. So I think running the ball is very key. So I expect to see a heavy dose of at least two running backs, Folston and Adams, and I'm assuming Williams is going to be available as well.
I would agree with you on running the ball. I think that's Brian Kelly said they're going to do that. And it's nice that they actually have a good enough offense that when they decide to run the ball, they can run the ball. I mean, that's what we've wanted for a long time. I think they'll be able to do that in this game. And with the defensive, Texas defensive line the way it is versus Notre Dame's offensive line, I think Notre Dame will be able just to pound the ball down the field. Heavy dose of Folston, just picking up those yards and taking away time from Texas and keeping them from getting their 100 plays in a game.
A little off topic, but I do expect before any play is run by Notre Dame's offense for there to be an offensive timeout called. And I also think that's a mistake because I think we need to save our timeouts for the defense just in case Texas does get on a roll that we can call a defense, get settled down, get the right personnel grouping in or whatever it is, and get prepared. So I think it's important that we don't waste timeouts, period, but especially on offense, I think we need to be very careful about saving our timeouts for the defense. All right, so that's my key for Notre Dame. I don't think they need to go crazy passing the ball. I think they just need to steadily just run the ball. Go ahead. Do you have anything to add to that for Notre Dame?
No, not really. I mean, like I said, I think that's what they're going to do, and I don't think they'll have a problem doing it.
So for Texas, the only way that they can win this game is by running 100 plays. If there's 100 offensive plays run by Texas, I think they'll win this game. Because it will mean that Notre Dame wasn't able to stop
the run.
To stop Texas's offense. And I'm also a little worried about, I think it's going to be a lot of dink and dunk passes with a heavy, I think Texas will also run the ball a ton, and then a couple long bombs to, is it John Hurd?
John Burt.
John Burt. And the long pass plays don't concern me as much as Texas being able to pick up a few yards on the run or on short passing plays, which I think we'll be solid. I think we'll be able to stop the runs, at least on the inside, with Cage, Jones, Tillery on the inside. I think we'll be safe on the inside. I'm a little worried. Isaac Rochelle does a great job setting the edge, but I'm a little worried about our weak side defensive end, whoever that ends up being, is it Trimbetti, Hayes, Dalen Hayes. So that's the only way Texas can win is by running 100 plays.
I guess I'm worried about something different. I'm worried about the long pass, them being able to
The reason I'm not worried about those is because they're not going to wear down our defense by doing that. I'm worried about getting our defense worn down over time, where in the fourth quarter, if it's a close game, they're able to will their way 85 yards by running the ball. That's what worries me.
Well, yeah, I agree with that, but I think that that's when the deep ball becomes an issue because they'll keep pounding it and wear down this defense with these two huge running backs attempting. Even if they're not gaining a lot of yards, Notre Dame's expect them to run, and all they need to do is one deep pass to Burt, and I don't think we have the safeties. I mean, the cornerback, we've got good cornerbacks, but they're going to need safety help with this guy, and I think they're going to have some success.
One thing that's also concerning, if they play with three wide receivers, which means Notre Dame will possibly be in nickel, and then they're still they're running the ball with their 250-pound running backs, that takes one more big guy out of the picture to help against the run. I guess I don't have anything more to add to that.
Yeah. Being the first game of the year, there's a lot of questions.
Something new that we want to do. We want to go through each position group for Notre Dame and pick out one player that we're going to be keeping an eye on and maybe a little bit of a reason why. So I guess quarterbacks, it'll be easy to keep an eye on both of them. So let's just skip the quarterback position. Wide receiver, I'm really curious to see how Torrey Hunter handles being the number one guy. I'm curious to see if he's able to handle that responsibility, get open, even though he's going to be getting a lot of attention from Texas. So he's the guy I'm going to be keeping a close eye on from the wide receiver group this week.
Yeah, that's a good point, but the guy I'm going to keep an eye on offense would probably be...
on a receiver.
Oh, you're just talking about the receiver.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with EQ. This is his chance. I think he can make some plays, and with these good cornerbacks, and they'll have their number one guy on Torrey Hunter, we'll see if he can step up and be a number two guy.
And from the tight ends, I guess I'm curious to see if Nick Wisher is able to be what Brian Kelly promised, a decent or a quality blocker, and also still be a quality pass catcher. Can he get downfield quickly? Can he get open? Can he move after he catches the ball? And this week we'll probably have zero passes to the tight ends.
You think so?
No, I don't know.
I think there's going to be a little more than with these good cornerbacks and inexperienced receivers. I think the tight ends are going to
get
more passes thrown their way in this game than they might in others. So I don't know if I can necessarily pick one guy. I just want to see, I think the pass, if there are passes, it'll be Smythe or Wisher. And I think maybe this is one game where one of them can kind of take that lead role as the pass catcher.
When we were talking about Notre Dame's offense earlier, you had started saying something about Nick Wisher or the tight end group.
Well, just that I think he's going to get more attention because of the inexperienced wide receivers versus these good cornerbacks.
And then at running back, I guess I'm curious about Folston. Is he the same guy? Is he better than he was before the injury? I'm just curious to see how fast he looks. I already know he's a good blocker. He's patient. He's very consistent. But I'm just curious if he's faster. Does he have something special?
Yeah, that's a good point. But I also want to see how Josh Adams does. Just grinding out the yards. We know he has a big play in him every once in a while, but can he grind out the yards? Can he get those 3-4 yard carries that Notre Dame will need to go down to march down the field?
All right, on defense, defensive line, Jerron Jones. I want to know if he is the difference maker that Charlie Strong thinks he is. I want to see when he is in there, will he make a difference? Is he giving 100%? And also, I'm curious to see how soon it's going to be, or who's going to start and how often are they switched out, Jerron Jones and Daniel Cage. I'm curious to see how that goes back and forth. Is it situational? Is it hot hand if Jones or Cage, if one guy is doing a better job, will they stick with him? And then at the end of the day, how many snaps does he get?
Yeah, I'm going to be watching Isaac Rochelle just because he is now, Brian Kelly said he is the best pass rusher. And just to see how much he's stepped up his game since last season and what kind of leader he is on the field. Will he be out in the field getting after guys and taking command of the defensive line?
All right, and at linebacker, this is probably not what you're expecting, but I'm picking Greer Martini. I'm curious to see, there's been rumors that he's more athletic than what fans give him credit for. Well, these are some powerful running backs, maybe not the fastest guys, but definitely powerful running backs. So I'm just curious, I want to watch his athleticism. He's got great instincts, but I'm just curious to see how quickly he moves, does he get to the right place, does he make the right calls, and how athletic is he really now that we see him as, I mean, he's a starter.
I'm going to go with Niles Morgan just because his issue has been making the right reads, you know, going through the right gap, and just how good his instincts are. Because that's what's going to matter. That's what's going to make him a great middle linebacker compared to average middle linebacker. So I want to see where he's at in that development.
And overall, as a defense, I think he's the player that I have the highest hope for. Like, I'm just hoping for a bright spot, and I'm expecting it. I'm hoping it to be him.
I totally agree with you.
All right, at cornerback, Sean Crawford. He's going to be the nickelback. He's going to be the, I believe, the right cornerback, the one opposite Cole Luke, whatever that is. But he is undersized, and especially in the nickel situations, is he going to be able to come down and help? I'm sure he's going to be willing, and he will, but is he going to be able to, if he goes head-to-head with one of those running backs, what's going to happen?
Yeah. I'm going to go with him as well, just because as a cornerback, not the nickel, but as a cornerback, he's going up against a guy that's 6'6", I believe, and could be one of the tallest guys that Texas has had at wide receiver. And John Burt, one of the fastest guys in college football. And so he's a good player, but that size, I want to see what he can do with his size against these receivers.
And then at safety, we've got two new starters at safety. But I'm going to go with Devin Studstill. I'm curious to see when he comes in. Does he look like? Does he have deer in the headlight look? Does he look confident? Does he know what he's doing? And again, how soon is he going to come in? If he comes in early in the first half, I think that's a good sign that they're definitely looking at him to at some point this season take the starting role. But if we don't see him till the game's either out of reach or late in the second half, you know, that might be an indicator where maybe we won't see him. We won't see him this year as a starter.
I'm going to go with Avery Sebastian, just to see what he can do, if he can play an entire game and not get hurt. And he's another guy, like you mentioned with Niles Morgan. He's another guy that I would love to see him have one of those 10 tackle games. You might say, oh, we don't want our safeties to have that many tackles. I'm not saying that. I want him to have a phenomenal game, maybe impress people, like surprise people. I think he's capable of it, and I'm hoping to see it versus Texas.
On special teams, we've got CJ Sanders starting as the punt and kickoff returner, Chris Fink backing up punt returner, Dexter Williams at kickoff return. But Justin Yoon on field goals, I know I said I wasn't concerned, but now as the game is getting closer, I'm a little bit nervous in my stomach and getting a little bit of butterflies about him, seeing him kick, just because he was great last year. We went over the numbers. He was terrific. But just from hearing fall camp that he was having some struggles, I will have butterflies in my stomach the first time that he goes for a field goal.
Yeah, I have to agree with you on that. Go with Justin Yoon, just because of things we've heard from fall camp. Brian Kelly doesn't seem worried. People think he'll get it figured out by game time, but you should be able to make him in practice. If you can't make him in practice, that's definitely a red flag as far as how he'll do in game time situations. And there are over 100,000 fans in that stadium.
It's going to be crazy. I was going to talk about this earlier as far as kind of how the flow of the game and what can affect it. Tyler Newsom being able to flip the field like he can is going to be huge for Notre Dame. Texas isn't, even though they have that big play potential, they're not going to be able to do that every time. Yeah. And so having him be able to flip the field is going to be just a huge, huge advantage for Notre Dame. And I'm hoping that our coverage teams do a good job of mitigating returns on both kickoff and on the punt. So I think that's all we've got for this episode. Is there anything that I'm missing?
What's your score prediction?
Oh, yes, score prediction. Well, I'm definitely also going with picking Notre Dame to cover, and my score prediction is Notre Dame wins it 28-14. I just think that, could I see Texas score more? Possibly. I think the most I'd expect to see from them would be about 17 points, and I definitely could see Notre Dame get a lot more than 28 points, but I feel pretty comfortable with that pick, 28-14.
I'm going to go with 34-14. I was going to say 17 for Texas, but their field goal kicker had some serious struggles. I don't think they even know exactly. Maybe they figured it out, but in the spring game, it was terrible. And they've had a lot of issues with that, so I do not think they'll make that field goal, so I had to drop it down to 14.
And you went 34 for Notre Dame?
Yes.
All right.
And tweet us your score predictions right before the game.
Yes, I believe we have a sponsor that gives away a pint of coffee for the winner. We need to double-check with that, see if we can get that going again this season. I'm pretty sure we can. Follow us on Twitter, and we'll let you guys know as far as if there might be some free coffee that you're trying to win. All right. Well, yeah, thank you guys for listening. I'm really excited about this season. I do think Notre Dame's going to have a couple losses, but, you know, with a little bit of luck, this could be a special season. I'd love to see you guys over on our forum, forums.irishsportstalk.net. We will be more active there now that the season's underway. And sign up. It's free. You can share your voice there, share your opinion, and ask questions. So, thank you guys for listening, and go Irish.
Go Irish.